Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. For 35 years, New Life has been transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown with Dr. Jim Burns and Dr. Alice Benton. On today's show, we're going to be talking about all kinds of things, and we've got some great calls lined up. And if you're on hold, please hold on, because we'll get to you in a minute. You know, we've been talking a lot about Courageous Parents, our workshop that's coming up real soon, April 1st. No joke about that. But we get calls every day about this issue and the relationships and, you know, how to redeem them. But, you know, now, Jim and I both have kids that are out of the house. Alice, you're on the other end, but you left the house too. And so, you know, what is something that your parents did right or wrong? Now, we're not picking on them, but, you know, I just think it's great insight for us to know, you know, how do we move forward in our healthy relationships with our adult sons and daughters?
My parents were great at building me up. They're very positive people. One thing I wish they had done differently, they rightfully were worried and disapproving when I started to date my husband before we were married, but they let fear drive the way they handled it, and they didn't get in to know my husband to determine if their fears were accurate or not. So I wish they'd handled that differently, but they came around eventually.
Wow, that is a powerful statement, though, is that they let fear drive the relationship. And how many times do we hear that with parents and adult sons and daughters? I mean, Jim, isn't that a significant statement? What is driving that relationship or the breakup of the relationship?
No, and I also feel her parents' pain, not because she's not awesome and her husband isn't awesome, but I think a lot of times parents don't approve of who I didn't really approve of any of the boys that ever dated my girls because nobody was good enough, right? And so you have to learn to still cheer them on. And that's a tough one, especially when they may have different values than you, or they might have a political belief that's different than you, or they're going to want to move your kid across the country or all kinds of things. Those are tough times.
Yeah, and, you know, that also comes with that whole concept of boundaries, too. You know, we joke about the fact that we chomp on our tongues, and I've said more than once that mine is shorter now. But, you know, how do boundaries work with adult sons and daughters? Like, we're not parenting them anymore. And, like, you know, Alice, when you're talking about they were letting fear drive the relationship, so they were, you know, not open, not accepting. But how do boundaries work with adult sons and daughters?
Well, I think it's really possible to hold healthy boundaries. You know, we always talk about boundaries from, and sometimes we're talking about from a negative angle, but sometimes we do need to have boundaries. And one of our boundaries is to keep our mouth shut. And, you know, I have a phrase that says, I asked a woman one time, because I have all girls, what do you do with the with boys? She, her son was getting married. What do you do? And she goes, well, I wear beige. I keep my mouth shut. That was all she had to do. We had to fork out a lot of money for us. But, you know, sometimes that's the boundary is it's not your job anymore to give advice. It's your job to cheer them on and come alongside them. And as with Alice's situation, the parents changed. My parents, on the other hand, I think they liked Kathy better than they liked me. So as I look back on that, I was so grateful that they showed her so much love and acceptance, because she felt immediately, and she didn't have a family, that she came from a real dysfunctional background. And for my parents to say, we are so thrilled that you are part of this family, that made a big difference, a huge difference.
Yeah. And you know, if you do it right, and I'm not saying this for people who have kids that have special needs, because we have a son that lives with us that probably won't launch. But if you do it right, they launch strong.
Yeah.
And you raise adults who make decisions that aren't all yours and that they thrive in their life, and that you have this mutual relationship that is giving and nurturing and respectful. But that doesn't mean you're going to agree on everything either. It can be tricky, but you know, the goal is that there's some love that's shared and continues throughout the generations. We'll be back with your calls after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're so glad that you're here. We've got some calls lined up. We've got openings always. We want you to give us a call. But, you know, parenting adult children is just one of the ways that we help people. We also have workshops on Every Man's Battle, helping women who have been betrayed. That's Restore. We have our Intimacy in Marriage. You know, it's we want you to have a great life. We want you to have the life that God has intended for you to have. And so we want you to check them out. If you need help, we are there for you. And right now, we are going to go to the calls. We're going to call, we're going to take Peter's call, who's calling from Seattle, Washington, listens on KGNW. Thanks for waiting, Peter. How can we help you today?
Well, I have a real complex issue, but all those other issues you're talking about, kid relationships, we got all those. But,
Okay. Well, you're part of the family then, Peter. How can we help you?
The question I have is, what do I do with my sexual desire when my wife doesn't want to be intimate? And this has been a long occurring thing over the last 20 years. Okay. When we first got married, it was great. And then life happened. Injuries, accidents. She was sexually abused as a kid. And she had a horrible relationship with her first husband.
Okay. And how long?
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask, how long have you been married to each other? And do you have children too, Peter?
We have been married 33 years, and we each have separate children from our first marriage.
Okay. All right. And do you want to add anything else before we let Jim and Alice take a stab at it?
There's all kinds of complex issues. For a while, we would kind of plan to have it, you know, Sunday after church, and then we'd go to the store before we come home, and she'd just start arguments about, you know, I want this product versus that product, et cetera, et cetera. And it just made it, you know, you have this, grit, anger going into it. But once we got into it, then it'd be great. Second, another big problem is ED, and I have a neck injury in my spinal cord that has affected my ability.
Okay. And Peter, have you guys sought any counseling for this?
Yes, I did. I was going to a counselor for 4 or 6 months.
Peter, why did you stop counseling?
We moved out of town.
Mm-hmm. And a difficult question, have you ever broken trust, especially in the sexual realm or the emotional intimacy realm, with your wife?
Yes.
Can you tell us how?
I had an online affair, I guess you'd call it, with a previous girlfriend that I had in college.
Have you and your wife gotten healing for that together, or has your wife individually received help?
Yes, we went to counseling for that for, I don't know, 4 or 6 months.
You were going to add something else. I interrupted you.
And then she's caught me with porn, and that really bothers her.
Is that ongoing?
On and off, yes. Mm-hmm. I've tried to stop, you know, over the past 30, 40 years, and it just always returns.
So, Peter, I so greatly appreciate your humility. The sexual trust is still broken, despite the help, the good help that you've gotten. I'm proud of you that you did. But because the pornography use continues, whether or not she even knows about it, the sexual and emotional relationship is still not yet safe. And so as frustrating as it is that she is withdrawing from you, she has some good reason to for now. And so what do you do with your sexual desire? It's such a legitimate question, difficult to deal with when your wife doesn't want to be intimate with you. But Peter, I think you know the answer is to clean up your sexual life, to become abstinent from pornography and any kind of emotional infidelity, and start to prove to her over time that you're going to keep at the work, in addition to the couple months you've done before, to become a safe man for her. But tell me how you react to that. How do you feel hearing that from me?
All right, well, there's a part that, I don't know if you heard it, that she has no desire. She has no libido.
Peter, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm going to interrupt you to go back to my question. What did you feel hearing my advice?
It doesn't answer the question. What do I do with my desire?
You have to get into
now, there's some complex issues in there I didn't go into at all, okay?
Yeah. Peter, I think my advice angers you somewhat, irritates you, and I think you feel a little defensive, and I probably would too, because you're in a very difficult position. But when your sexual desire receives the necessary treatment so that you realign with God's way of handling sexual desire, there's a much higher likelihood of healing things with your wife, and possibly her sexual desire will be renewed, will be reactivated. But it cannot happen, it will not happen, as you continue to use porn. So I think, I'm going to gently say this to you, I think you justify your use of porn because she's withdrawn from you. But God asks for better than that of us, Peter. You're capable of better than that with the right help, not alone. This is too big to face alone. But consider coming to Every Man's Battle. Consider being in our Sustained Victory men's group so that you can get the right support, so that you can process your frustration and anger and become a safe husband for her again.
Well, and you know, Peter, it is complex. Relationships are complex. So the things that you talked about, even with her history, your history, you know, there's a blended family, there's the aging process, there's all of these things that are coming into play with this issue. And so we can get kind of fixed on this is, if this would happen, then everything else would be fine. And I mean, I'm sure you don't think that way, but it can be kind of a trigger. Jim, what would you offer to Peter?
Well, I'm thinking of the word intimacy, Peter. And us guys, when we hear the word intimacy, we think it's sometimes physical and sexual. Women understand it sometimes better as connection. And porn is false intimacy. So it's not true intimacy. It's false intimacy. You know that in your heart because you said you've tried to stop and gone back and forth, but for a long time. So I think that start with your issue, not with hers. She has a low libido. Well, she may have a low libido because she's dealing with some of the issues of feeling like you've betrayed her. Not sure, but that could be. So, you know,
it's more of her estrogen level.
Okay, sure.
And her past history of sexual abuse.
Okay, sure.
And her first husband, stuff like that.
You know, that can make sense, and that's why you get the counseling, and that's why, you know, you get the long-term thing. We obviously are on a phone call. But, you know, porn is false intimacy. Emotional intimacy with your spouse precedes sexual intimacy. I mean, people can have sex. They do it on porn. But it's a false sense of intimacy. So to work on the emotional intimacy, what are her needs? One of her needs would be to feel like she is the one for you. I'm not now saying this is an immediate change, but she needs to see you do the work to get the help that you need. And I honestly suggest that you go to something like, you know, Every Man's Battle. Do it for you, but you're also doing it for her, because you may be surprised when she, because, you know, she's been abused. She has been in a terrible first marriage and all these things. So, you know, you're in her mind, you may be just like those others in terms of not being safe. So my experience is this, that when women see a man have the incredible courage to make changes in his own life, that moves them toward intimacy. That's sexy to them. Okay. And again, you've got a lot of complex issues, and we can't obviously deal with all that just on the radio. But it seems to me that with the help of a counselor, with start with going to something like Every Man's Battle. We're not trying to sell that. We're just simply saying it works. We know people who over the years, it's changed their marriage. It's changed their intimacy with their spouse. It's changed their life for the better. You know, nobody goes, hey, I did this and it was worse for me. They say the ones who do it and work upon it, they go, hey, it changed. So do that. But at the same time, get the you know, the Bible says where there is no counsel, the people fall. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. You want counseling because of the complexities of the issues. I'm not denying that there are complexities, but I'd focus on you. When I'm pointing a finger at my wife, wanting her to change, there's three fingers pointing back at me. I'm doing that, you know, here we're on radio. You can't see it, but you know, these guys can. And so, you know, work on you. And when you work on you, then I have a feeling that she'll come back around, especially because at one time you guys had good physical intimacy, you said. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that means that can come back. It just is a matter of rekindling that. But the way you rekindle it is not to worry so much about her, but to, you know, work on what's holding you back.
Yeah, that's very good. And, you know, Peter, here's the thing. It would be a totally different call if you said, I went to Every Man's Battle, I'm in sustained victory, I've been clean and sober for 6 months and she still doesn't, or whatever that part of it is. So, but I also want to encourage you, we're going to send you a copy of Every Man's Battle. I also want to encourage you to connect with us for Every Man's Battle, but maybe even Intimacy and Marriage, because it's going to take the two of you healing together. And you'd be amazed what a change that can make when you really get to the underneath of all of what the complexities that you're talking about. So you have really good connection in your marriage. We're glad you called, and we'll be praying for you. It is tough. In marriage, it's just there's always something. We're going to go to Mary, who's calling us from Sarasota, Florida. And we're glad you called, Mary. First time caller. We're so glad you called us. How can we help you today?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Should I turn my radio off if I'm speaking on my phone?
Yes, that would be great. You can listen later, Mary.
Yeah. I didn't know how to adjust to them. Okay. So my question is, moving forward in my relationship with my daughter, what would be the biblical, healthiest and most biblical thoughts, attitudes, and actions that I should have toward her after, toward her? So that's a question. What is the proper biblical, healthiest emotion, thoughts, attitudes, and actions I should have toward my 32-year-old daughter, whom when she was visiting me, I'll tell you the situation, when she was visiting with me, stayed with me a little bit, she was very happy to wanted to share something with me. And she did. And she was reluctant because she said, Mom, I don't want you to be angry, and I know you're going to be angry. And I promised her I wouldn't. Well, I was angry, but inside I dealt with a lot of emotional, feelings as a result of what she told me, but I did not express that to her. I worked through it. What I want to know now is, with the information I have, how should I move forward in our relationship in a biblical way? So what she told me was that she is I gave her money to take doula lessons a year ago. That's, you know, helping them with labor and delivery under a midwife, not quite a midwife. So I had gladly helped her with that. She's capable of paying for what she does. But we went to the radio. Hold on, let me get up. So anyways, and what she told me was that she's going to use that now. She's going to work at a Planned Parenthood to help women going through labor and delivery to abort their babies. They are in their first trimesters, and she's going to be the doula for them as they labor to abort a baby.
All right, Mary, you can hear the hear the music. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll answer your questions about, you know, how do you do relationship with her when you're not quite on board with the decisions that she's making for her life. And I think we can help you. It's hard. It's very difficult. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Mary, and her adult daughter has made a decision for a career right now that's not sitting real well with her. Mary, I just want to say, first of all, I'm glad you were able to hold your tongue, but you're saying that it's really hard to manage this relationship. But let's start with Alice, and we'll get some advice here.
Okay.
Mary, is your daughter a Christian?
You know, I don't believe so. I'm looking at fruit, and I would say no.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Does she explain why she took this job?
She says she wants, she's become really liberal. She wants to help women, and she feels like the skill, it's not a full-time job. It's just something she does, helping women. But she's not depending on it financially at all. She works elsewhere. What was your question?
You answered my question. Okay. As a mom, Mary, I would feel just so disheartened and worried that my daughter was choosing this kind of a role because of our Christian views about abortion.
I already worked through that, and I was able, at least I could do is to give her correct information about first trimester pregnancy. It's not just a blob. It's not just a thing. It's a human being. So I, with resistance from her, I was able that night before she left my home to forward videos and ask her to please watch them. So, and I've worked through that. I'm going to walk in love, but is there anything else that you would recommend for me to do with my thoughts, my attitudes, and my actions in this relationship moving forward?
Well, I applaud your approach that you shared truth with her. And I think it's important to share truth in a limited amount, to not keep bringing it up and sharing your opinion over and over again. I think you've probably done enough for now, unless God clearly nudges you to bring it up again in the future. So now I would recommend that you look for the way she wants to love these women in what we know to be a very traumatic procedure. So she may have a very good heart in what she's doing to serve the women themselves. Of course, our concern is also about the babies that are being taken from the womb. But it may be that she wants to be a support to women. So I would look for the good in her motivation and separate your Christian standards from the fact that she's not choosing to live a Christian lifestyle. So that's not her belief system anymore. And we're really told to differentiate how we bring truth to Christians versus non-Christians. And so I think you have done your job in bringing that truth to her. Continue to love her and stay invested in relationship.
Thank you, Alice. Jim, what would you say?
Well, I'm sad for you because, you know, you love your daughter and she's making a choice that goes against the grain of our belief as Christ followers. Mm-hmm. And I think you tell her that. You know, I am sad. And I agree with Alice that we don't keep bringing it up. You can't be a one-topic parent. And yet this is a topic that's, I mean, it breaks your heart. It's there inside. You know, even when, and she knows now that she's violating your values as a Christ follower. Mm-hmm. The one question mm-hmm. she still has, do you still love me, Mom? Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you look at it, you know, Christ loves us not for what we do, but for who we are, his children. And so our job mm-hmm. is to love our children and show love without showing acceptance. So we can say, I'm sad. You know, those videos that I sent you, I believe those and whatnot. But she still wants to know if she's loved. And again, by not being a one-topic parent, you've got a better say at, you know, being involved in her life and, you know, sharing as time goes on. But like Alice said, you treat her with a deep love and respect for who she is, your child. At the same time, you don't have to agree. And it's very possible, not that this is easy, it's possible to live with children who we, you know, totally disagree with their life or right. their lifestyle or their choices, and we can still show love. Jesus did that very well. And that had to be hard for him. Think about his heart breaking when, you know, he's talking with prostitutes and other types of people who were, who, you know, who are missing the mark. Missing the mm-hmm. mark. The Bible says when you say sin, it literally means to miss the mark. I think mm-hmm. your daughter's missing a mark, but she needs you to show her God's love. And yeah.
And so, Mary, take your distressing thoughts to your safe peers. Join a New Life recovery group. Allow us to connect you with a counselor so that you can be sad and angry apart from your daughter, and then you can be emotionally stable when you are in conversation with her.
Right. I love that. Yeah. We're going to send you a copy of Jim's book, Doing Life with Your Adult Children. And, you know, it is hard. And it may not even be this issue. It could be so many others. But, you know, how do we maintain relationship? Because that's where you can have more impact, actually. You know, and we're going to be praying for that situation, Mary. Alice, you got one more thing?
Yeah, Becky. The women I have spoken with who have had an abortion, on the one hand, it's so easy to be judgmental on the outside. And yet every time I've gotten to know the backstory, it became so understandable that abortion seemed like the best choice at the time. So we've got to be cautious about our judgmentalism of the people who choose abortions. There's a story there. There's a reason why they get to that point.
Well, and in our devotions today at New Life, we talked about the love of Christ compelling us. And, you know, it doesn't matter what the issue is. Our response has to be love, and we then allow the Savior to lead. And that's kind of what you were talking about too, Jim. And, you know, this is what sin does in the world. And it's just, it causes pain, heartache, and we're going to be praying for you, Mary, and praying for your daughter, and looking for some redemption to come in the future. We're going to take a break, and we're going to talk to Ron right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, as we talk all the time, we want to encourage you, if you're desiring to do deeper work one-on-one, we've got a counselor network across this country, as well as coaches that can help you wherever you are. So if you need help in some direction, give us a call at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we will get you connected with somebody. Right now, we're going to connect with Ron, who's calling us from Dallas, Texas, and a friend recommended you call. Hi, Ron. How are you today, and how can we help you?
Okay, well, the business associate gave me your name and told me to get on the line. I'm not from this area, but I've called in. My wife passed away 1,518 days ago, and it's just like it was yesterday, and it's terrible. And to be very candid with you, I don't know why I'm calling. You know, you're going to tell me this or that, but I said, I told the associate, yeah, I'll call, whatever. But he expressed it. He said, I'm concerned about you and, you know, whatever. So it's just a very difficult thing. We were married for over 51 years, have no children. I do not have any family. I've got some distant relatives, but We had a wonderful life. It was an amazing marriage. I'll very quickly say it wasn't perfect, but it was as close as you can possibly get. And I just miss her terribly every day. I'll go through multiple days of not tears, and then there'll be many, many days of continuous tears.
Well, Ron, you have a good friend that says that he's concerned and wants you to talk with us, and we hear the pain. And, you know, 51 years is a long time to be with somebody, and grief is very complex.
Yeah.
You know, Jim, let's start with you. What would you do for Ron's encouragement?
Yeah,
today?
Ron, you're amazing, and 51 years, congratulations. And yet you've been grieving for a long time. And you know what? My mom died a lot longer than that, and obviously wasn't my wife, but you know, I still have moments of grief. I'm not sure you've probably dealt with your grief as you can. And, you know, you lean into grief. Grief goes through different stages, and you want to get the help. I would sit with someone and really talk about how you just shared with us out of your heart, share how special your wife was. But I have one question, and I'll hand it over to Alice. What do you think your wife would want you to do right now? What do you want?
During her illness, she said, "I'm afraid you're going to do." Of course, she hadn't seen this, but do what I'm doing, become a isolation person, a hermit in the sense of not getting involved. But this was our life, and I mean, she knew me better than anyone else would ever know. We were dedicated Christians. We loved the Lord. She was saved at 9. I was saved at 10. We've been very active in our church everywhere we've traveled. It's only by the grace of God that I am here today. I really believe that.
And so what I hear you saying is she would tell you to not move on in the sense of not forget her, but to actually embrace this next season of life in a different way than you've been doing.
She would. I mean, there's no questions that say, but let me tell you, when we first got married, we both were virgins. We got married. I'm holding her in my arms that night, that wedding night. And she said, and we're about to go to sleep. And she said, I want to ask you something. I said, okay. She said, would you always, every night, tell me that you love me and give me a kiss? Mm. We did that for 51. Even when I was in military and overseas, when I traveled, we did it in those ways. Now, let me tell you very clearly, there were many nights that she'd say, give me a kiss. You know I love you. I don't like you right now, but
that's honest.
Love your wife. She's awesome. But again, going back to it,
that's a truth.
Yeah, you've had a good relationship with her, and so it's time. And so your grief is a different type of a grief, but you work through that so that you can do what she wants you to do, and that's to have a vibrant life outside of her for right now. Mm-hmm. It's hard to do, but there's help. I mean, honestly is people. There are people who can help you work through this.
There's 5 or 7 steps to grief and all that. I've read all these books about it and everything out there. There are a few little steps that I've never gotten into. Like one of the steps is you get mad at God. I have never been mad at God. Every day I thank him for the fact that he allowed me to be a part of her life for the length of time that I did. So, to say that there's steps in grief, I don't really believe all of this, but I understand what they're saying about it.
Do you know what's... What's funny though, Ron?
I don't want to let go of her.
Right. Listen, that's what exactly.
Let go.
I thought that's where you were going, because I think when you count the days like you just did, your thought is if I move on, I'm letting go. But what you're doing is you're giving her legacy life. That right now your life is ending because hers ended. And that doesn't speak well of her, right? I mean, she wants you to thrive. She wants you to continue to minister to people. There are other men who have lost their wives who need that encouragement as well. But it is so tough to miss her It is tough to find your life beyond her, but it speaks well of your marriage and your love for her as you do that work. Alice, what would you like to offer Ron to encourage him?
Ron, I want you to notice how you felt letting us get to know your wife in these brief minutes. Notice how it felt that we laughed, that we were delighted by some of the ways she loved you. Usually, that's comforting, and it's actually life-giving to share about what a wonderful woman your wife was. You actually blessed us. You put smiles on our faces by telling us some of the stories, and there's so many more stories to tell. It's so natural to become a hermit in your grief and to have reason to cling to the grief the way that it is. And yet, it serves you and it serves other people by allowing yourself to tell the stories about her, not just to keep them to yourself. And so I thank you that you did that with us today. And I ask that you don't stop that process, that you continue opening up to other people. We get information from a book, and that's a good thing. But if we don't put it into practice in relationship, then it's not life-giving information for us. And as a military man, and thank you for the way you served our country, you probably were taught to separate from emotion so that you could be tough and face the difficult things that you did in the military. And so it's countercultural, perhaps, to allow yourself to both feel your emotions and then share them with other people. But it's what God created us to do. That's how good community works.
Well, you know, Ron, we talk about so many things on the show. You haven't heard us very much, but one of the things we do is it's a workshop, and we have one that's called Emotional Freedom that I think could be a really good help for you in this grief process. We want to get to the place where when you call us the next time, you'll say, remember when I called, I started doing this work, and now I've started to connect with people, and my friend isn't worried about me anymore. That you found your life again. We're going to send you a copy of the Life Recovery Workbook for Grief, and I think it'll give you just a process, but also we're going to give you information about the Emotional Freedom Workshop, which will be online, so you can go, you know, wherever you are. But boy, what a testimony to a life of love. And, you know, we'll be praying for you, Ron, and I hope that something we said will encourage you to move forward in your process. Thanks to both of you for just that insight. I loved what you said, Alice, about, you know, we did just get encouraged by hearing about mm-hmm. their love and their life together. It's pretty amazing. We love that. Well, we're going to go to another call. I know we're going to come up against a break real quick, but Jan is calling us from Madison, Mississippi, and listens on Sirius XM. Hi, Jan. We're so glad you called. How can we help you today?
I just need to do something that I can help my daughter-in-law. My son, that she married, passed away a year ago with cancer. Both had been drug addicts at one time, but not together. They found each other when they were both had been through
in recovery.
They both been through it. Yeah, in recovery. And like I said, they had been married maybe a year and a half, and she is really having a difficult time. I tried talking to her yesterday. In fact, she's living with us. She's living upstairs because of family that's not there much for her. And she doesn't want to. She had some counseling right after the death, and all I could tell her was, you know, you really need to seek more counseling. And she said, I really just don't want to. And I kind of
all right, Jan, we're going to go to. We're going to go to a break, and we hear the heartache, and we're going to get back to you after the break to answer this call. You know, it's a devastating situation, and I think Alice and Jim will be able to help you. We'll be right back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are talking with Jan, whose son passed away a year ago of cancer, and her daughter-in-law is just struggling in her grief. And Jan, you were saying as we went to the break, she's living with you. She had gone to counseling, but she doesn't want to go to counseling anymore. Did you want to add anything else before I turn it over to Alice and Jim?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Alice, let's start with you.
Jan, do you see any significantly concerning behaviors such as a relapse to substance use or anything else that's on your radar?
I've been paying real close attention to that, but I don't think so. She is easy to drop asleep. Sleep has been like comfort, maybe getting out of the situation for her, not having to think about it. Christmas, she did not want to participate. She said, I just want to blink my eyes and let that day go by. And Thanksgiving, she says, you guys have no idea how hard it was.
So you're seeing some withdrawal, some escape into sleep. Other than that, is she generally managing her life? Is she holding down a job and taking care of herself?
Yes. Okay. Yes, she's holding down a job, very, very well. And she works at night, so that is part of her sleep issue. I try to catch her as she comes and goes, but it's real hard because her hours are so different than everybody else's, you know.
So, Jan, one thought is that people go through seasons in counseling. I've been in and out of counseling myself many times, and it's okay to stop counseling, especially if she is managing life fairly well and she seems to be maintaining her sobriety. It's okay to take a break from counseling. So I might try validating that she did the work, praise that she was in counseling, and then I would ask her, when can I check back with you about this? I want to give you space. You don't want counseling right now. You have every right to choose that. Can I ask about it again in a couple weeks or a month? If you did that, how do you think she would respond?
I don't know. It's like I have mentioned it maybe too many times, you know, and then I think, well, I just give her time to meditate, time to kind of think back and maybe think about the good things. But every time I do, she kind of, evades the issue.
So, Jan, we're taking your approach and we're just making it more proactive and structured rather than not talking about what this pattern that's happening between the two of you. Set it up to intentionally talk about it, but then back off depending on that amount of time she gives you. Ask me about it in a month. Respect that and withhold the question for that time period.
That's a good idea. Jim, what would you offer to Jan?
Hey, Jan, I think you're giving your daughter-in-law an incredible gift. You're giving her the gift of your presence and your time in your home. And what a gift for a mother-in-law to do that. Mm-hmm. So please hear that. I mean, that's a great thing. I call this the power of being there. And, you know, we always talk about where I work at a place called Homeward, and we help parents with their kids. And we say that children regard your very presence as a sign of caring and connectedness. And what you're doing is you're caring for her by just being present there. And again, we always want to fix something, especially, and again, I'm so sorry for the loss of your son.
Yeah.
But we always want to fix something. But the truth is sometimes we fix it by just simply being there. And you're doing that. And sometimes it's more of the love and hey, I was thinking about you today, and I know you like this certain kind of chocolate, so I got you some, you know, chocolate you know, just things like that. And you're doing that. So you're giving her that strength. Probably the reason she's not relapsing and all that is because you've actually given her this gift. So please, you know, how great is that? Well, the thing you might
Oh,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to add, the thing you may want to do, one way to kind of sneak in some of that is, you know, maybe let's say you have a great women's Bible study that you've been a part of, or there's, you know, something online or whatever. You know what you may want to say is, hey, I was thinking, I want to jump into this. You want to do it together. It's only 20 minutes a week or something. And now you're tying in something where you're not the counselor. You're the mother-in-law who's given the gift. But, you know, together you're doing it. It may not even be about the issue of losing a spouse. It may be totally different.
Yeah, just the Bible study.
Right. But
somewhere where we can sit and be quiet together.
Sure, exactly. And then that might
have the chance to ask questions.
Right, and then that might be something, oh my goodness, we're doing this at our church, you know, do you want to try it, or things like that. But again, look at what you're giving her as a gift. It's quick. This has been a really short season for her to experience this incredible trauma, and it sounds like she's doing quite well with this.
Right. So, you know, one of the things...
Just,
Go ahead, Jan.
Just recently, she has sort of made herself very scarce. And his birthday was this month. The anniversary of the death was this month. And she has friends in another part of town that she's really kind of started going and spending the night there instead of coming home. And I guess that's why I've gotten a little bit more concerned.
Yeah.
I still feel like she's not relapsing or anything, but
right. She's
really making herself very scarce around our house,
which was not a whole lot
to start with. But.
So here's the thing, Jan. Whenever you're talking with somebody who's been in recovery, it's okay for you to say, you know, I've noticed that you're not here, and I'm wondering, are you struggling anywhere other than the grief?
Yeah.
The other thing that I think too, Jan, is if you guys want, you could come to our Emotional Freedom Workshop. It's a one day, you both could participate. I think, you know, in the midst of all of this, your own grief is getting kind of absorbed by hers. And one last thing I was thinking of with her sleep situation, if she has odd working hours, it could be a combination of both the grief and just the fact that her body physically is responding to the strange working hours and the grief at the same time. That very much does take place. Alice or Jim, do you have anything else you want to offer, Jan?
I think that covers it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're going to send you a copy, Jan, of the Life Recovery Workbook for Grief. Actually, I'm going to send you two because that may be the thing that you and your daughter-in-law could work through together. You know, grief, we've had a couple of calls today about grief, and it is a journey that everyone will take. We all will lose someone or something in our lifetime, and grief, there is a process. And you know, one of our earlier callers were talking about like the five stages of grief, and I think Steve has talked about the 11 stages of grief. Like there's just one thing after the other after the other, and it's very complex. Jim or Alice, do you have any encouragement for our listeners as we go from this hour of just hearing that pain? What is the hope that we have to look forward to when we've suffered great loss?
Well, the natural tendency is, of course, to pull away from grief, to not want to talk about it, and to hope that time will alleviate it. But the way it actually works, physiologically, spiritually, and emotionally, is that opening up, reminiscing, allowing tears to flow, allowing anger to surface in a safe environment with a safe, healthy peer, it actually allows us to progress through that healing process more naturally and faster. We don't forget about the person, and the grief may remain throughout our lifetime, but it changes, and it's a more tolerable grief when we face it head on.
That's perfect. That's great. And it is true. We've got some resources for you if you need help with this. We've got a couple of special shows next week. Monday we'll be having Lisa Turkhurst, who will be a guest with Steve. And then on Tuesday and Wednesday, Dr. Henry Cloud is coming back.
He's
going to be answering your calls, and Steve will be hosting. And, you know, if there's anything along the way that you need, you can call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you so much, Jim, and thank you so much, Alice, for all of your wisdom. I know you helped a lot of people today, and I know that's what your heart is for, right? You just want people to experience new life. We're thankful for you, listeners, and we'll hope to see you next time. Give us a call if you need anything. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.